Jonah, gasping and nearly drowning. But God was not yet finished with Jonah. He sent a big fish to swallow Jonah in one gulp. Jonah found himself in the stomach of a great fish. "Oh, it's so dark in here. What will become for me now? Maybe God will still hear me." Jonah turned to the Lord. "Lord, thank you for saving me." Inside the fish, Jonah prayed for 3 days. "I'm sorry I tried to hide from you. Please let me out of this terrible prison. I will do as you commanded." God heard Jonah and knew he had changed. He made the fish spit out Jonah onto the land. "Thank you, merciful Lord, for delivering me safely to land. Now, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell those wicked people I am going to destroy them." "Yes, Lord, I'm listening. I'm on my way."
Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. Welcome to RCC. My name's Nathan, and we just want to welcome you. And if you're a first time here, please come by and see us at the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. And as we're talking about gifts today in the communion service, we have a gift for you if you're first time here. So please come by and see us. And can we welcome all those who are joining us online? Can we welcome all our brothers and sisters right now all around the world? We love you guys. So glad to see you this morning. Glad you could join us. I want to give you a heads up on things that we're launching here at RCC. One is actually starting this month on October 25th. We're going to start every Wednesday at 11 a.m. We're going to come in this room. We're going to pray. And if you're interested in joining us, everyone's welcome. You just come in, and once again, it's 11 o'clock on Wednesday, every Wednesday. It's going to start not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. And we got things we need to pray about for you, for our church, for our community. And I tell you what, our church is never going to be the same after we start this. I promise you that. That's the power of prayer. And if it wasn't for prayer, we wouldn't be here. So once again, I want to just encourage you with that. Once again, Wednesdays, every Wednesday, starting, put in your calendar on your phone, October 25th. Be here at 11 o'clock if you're available. We'd love to pray with you. But speaking of prayer, we want to go ahead right now and pray for something that's going on around the world, and that is pray for Israel. So will you join with me? Let's just pray right now together. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we see what's happening, and our hearts are hurting, and our hearts don't really know quite even what to say, except we could just call upon you and say, God, intervene. Supernaturally, right now, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace, security, healing for everyone involved. Please give comfort to the hearts of those who are wondering about loved ones, who have lost loved ones in this catastrophe. It's a difficult time, God, and they need you. They need restoration that can only come from you. So, Lord, right now, we think of a scripture that says, surround, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. And, Lord, we know you're surrounding your people all around the world and even in Israel. Surround them with hope, especially in the days ahead. And Lord, right now, we just pray for resolve to this, and we pray for peace. And we pray this all in the name of the King of Prince of Peace, and that is Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We're excited, too, because we want to be a blessing, and we talk about generosity, and your generosity helps us be a blessing in our community. We have Fall Festival coming up. That's one of the things that happens with your generosity. We have amazing events right here on campus for our community, for our families, right here in our city. And so we would love for your help. If you can help in any way, just go to the site there that's on the website right there on the graph, or you can QR code that. And many of you are bringing in candy. We thank you so much for bringing that in. You can bring it in, put it in the atrium. You can also even sign up to help. Make sure it's a safe and secure and fun event for everyone involved. And once again, trunks, whatever it is you want to help out with, you can see that right there on the graphic. You can sign up online. And one thing that we love here at RCC is worship. And doesn't our worship team, don't they do a great job here at RCC? Can we just give God the praise for that? They just do a phenomenal job. And we're excited about Ty and his team. They're going to be leading us in worship on Sunday, October 22nd, which is next Sunday. So go ahead and put that in your calendar. Be here at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a night to remember. You know, as we dive into this closing of our series right now on the Jonah story, one of the comments I've gotten from a number of you is, I didn't realize there was so much in this little book called Jonah. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of times we read the Bible, we kind of do a surface reading. But if you take time, you dive a little deeper, you see a lot of incredible truth in there. And so the question is not of the book of Jonah, can a man live inside of a fish? The real question is, how long can a man live with God when the man is outside the will of God? Is Jonah ever going to surrender to the mission that makes him so angry? And the genius of the book is that it ends in such a way that you get to answer about your own concerns, about your own choices in this book. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So as we know, Nineveh is one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world, breaks out in Nineveh. And a revival that Jonah did not pray for, a revival that Jonah did not even want. Neither Jonah nor Nineveh knows what's going to happen next. And Jonah is worried that God is a Christian. And what I mean by that is he thinks God is going to spare Nineveh. And that thought just makes him sick. It makes him so angry. So picking up in Jonah chapter 4, verse 5, look what it says. Jonah had gone out and sat down at the place east of the city. When he made himself a shelter, sat in his shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. And then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was what? Say it with me, church. He was what? He was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a what? He provided a worm. See, God is sovereign. He controls the wells in the story. He controls the worm, and everything obeys him, except probably at times the prophet. The worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. Then the sun rose, and God provided a scorching east wind. The sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and he wanted to do what? He wanted to die. He keeps this theme going, by the way, doesn't he? He just keeps wanting to die. And then he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And then Jonah says what? He says, it is. He says, it is. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Now watch what happens next. But the Lord said, you have been what? You have been concern, that's our word for today, concern about this plant, though you did not tend to it, you didn't make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have what? Should I not have concern for the great city Nineveh, in which there are more than, say it with me, church, how many are there? There are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from the left, and also many, many animals. So this great revival breaks out, and you would think that Jonah would want to kind of, you know, promote it, maybe get it prolonged, maybe set up some life groups or some Bible studies or some prayer groups. But no, he goes outside the city and has what I call a pout fest, a pout party. How many of you have children that like to pout? Anybody has a child that likes to pout, or a grandchild? Okay, I've got at least one, all right? And it comes, you know, genetically. I'm a big pouter, I'll be honest with you. And so all of a sudden, he's out there, and he's pouting away. And deep down, here's what Jonah wants. He wants Nineveh to backslide. He wants the fact that he has removed himself from Nineveh, that maybe now, since a prophet of God is not in Nineveh, that Nineveh will turn back to his evil, and then God will see that they have not really followed him, and then he eradicate them and wipe them off the face of the planet. That's what he's hoping will happen. So he's out there pouting, and something happens that hasn't happened the entire book of Jonah. All right? Here it is. Jonah gets happy. That's the first time it's happened. Jonah gets happy. Have you ever been around someone who's constantly unhappy? That when they're finally happy, it's kind of a big deal. Don't point, okay? All right? But you know who those people are. You know, and so what makes this guy who has been so miserable and the entire whole book of Jonah finally happy? Is it the fact that Nineveh, you know, repented, or that he obeyed? Nope. Is it the fact that, you know, God's been good to him? Nope. What makes Jonah happy is a plant. Because when you have spent most of your life being hot about something, a little shade is very welcome. So Jonah takes his place in a long line of people who want to be more comfortable, more than they want to participate in what God is doing in the world. See, both God and Jonah are concerned, except Jonah is concerned about Jonah's concerns. Like he's kind of the poster child of it's all about me thinking, which is a thinking that's dominated every time and every culture and every person. It dominates our politics. We don't vote for what's best for the majority. We vote for what's best for me. It dominates our economics and how we handle money. It dominates our faith. Many people never move past a level of faith that goes deeper than help me, God, bless me. Sadly, many pastors baptize this shallow me faith by building it's all about you churches. And so what happens when you get a group of people who think it's all about them? Well, you get what you deserve. A church full of people who are constantly unhappy about what I call plant issues. I talked to pastors. I was in Augusta, Georgia this past week, talked to many pastors, and it made me appreciate what's going on here at RCC all the more. Many people came up and said, I've heard what's happening there. Tell us about it. But many pastors are very frustrated. In fact, there's an epidemic going on right now in churches. 70% of pastors are thinking about or are quitting right now because they're tired of trying to keep plant-thinking people happy. Plant-thinking people do not complain about, hey, why aren't you making us reach the lost more? They don't complain, hey, why aren't you calling us to sacrifice more or pray more? No, plant-thinking people usually ask something that has something along this taste to it of their question. Why isn't this church going to make me, it's not making me happy. How can you make me more happy? I'm so thankful that's not the heart of RCC. I promise you it's not, and I praise God for that. But here's the truth. What we want most is rarely what we need most. What we want most is rarely what we need most. And so sometimes, like with Jonah, God intentionally puts you and me in uncomfortable situations to make us reassess our priorities and discern if our concerns are lining up actually with God's concerns. Because God, frankly, is not very concerned about a lot of things that concern us. Things that get us all riled up is not necessarily what riles God up. Here's what God's concerned about. God is concerned about those who are ignorant, and he's concerned about those who are disobedient. See, he looks at Jonah, he says, Jonah, there's 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left hand. They're just kids, Jonah. Kids. And yes, the city's full of people who do know right and from wrong and do wrong anyway. But here's the reality, Jonah. I'm concerned about both groups. And this is just what God is like. And the story is teaching us to be like what God is like. And God is saying, Jonah, I don't divide the world up like you do. You, Jonah, you divide the world up by us versus them. But here's how I divide the world. I divide the world up by my found children and my lost children. That's how God sees the world. My found and my lost children. And the story is asking us to start looking at the world through the eyes of God, especially the great cities of the world. It reminds me of a couple of years ago, I went to the Jaguar game, and 60,000 people, half the size of Nineveh, in this stadium, and everybody's passionate about the game. They're not going to remember it in 10 years, but they're passionate about it in the moment, and it's kind of an electric atmosphere. 60,000 people packed into a small space watching grown men move a ball up and down a field. And I thought to myself, God, will I ever get to see 60 or even 120,000 people hear the message of your son Jesus? God, will you make that happen? Lord, I'll come, I'll preach it. And if you don't want me to preach it, I'll pray for somebody else to preach it. But I think for just a moment, I began to see the city the way that God does. And the question is, who deserves to hear the message of God? Well, in one way, nobody, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But another way, everybody. Everybody deserves to hear the message of God because God is concerned about all of his children, whether they are lost or whether they are found. And because of God's concern, we at RCC are also concerned. And I want you to hear for just a moment about how we, in a little bit, just a snapshot of how we at RCC seek to bless our Nineveh right here in our community. We are here to, we actually have mentor and encouraging and sharing Christ with junior high students. at extracurricular Christian clubs that we have established in local junior highs all over Clay County. We have at least 13 families who are actively serving in multiple ways with Better Together, which is an organization that helps prevent child abuse, empowers families to find employment, equips them with the support they need for a better life. We've had 20 families who've helped with Hunger Fight event, which is basically feeding those in need. They have done 17 million meals over the last 10 years. We partner with them. In February, we hosted a blood drive to save the life of people all around our community. In May, we cooked and encouraged and served food to all the seniors and staff at Fleming Island High School right on the backside of our property at their annual field day. In July, if you remember this, the school was launching. We were like, man, can we do 500 backpacks full of school supplies? We were crazy to pick 500. They thought we were crazy. And we brought 640 of backpacks full of school supplies to help the families in need in our community. We have Celebrate Recovery that meets here every Friday night. We have Divorce Care, Grief Share that meets here every single week. Just a little bit of what we do. Food and Friends meets here every Thursday night to serve meals to hundreds of individuals and continually develop relationships that strengthen faith and trust in our community. First Coast Women's Services helps those girls who are wondering about, and women wondering about having an abortion, helps them make a decision that's more godly, saves the lives of the baby, leads people to Jesus. We partner with them. We obviously help them financially. We also bring help in volunteer source. We did a baby ball drive. We broke the record. We shattered the record for baby ball drive. We're bringing over $20,000 in baby ball drive funds. We partner with Mercy Support Services that work with the needy right here in Clay County with assistance with a whole bunch of services. RC has personally adopted a family that is on its way to a self-sustaining life through the Adopt a Supportive Home program. We fund and supply food and funding for the Father's Heart Ministry that's based right here off our campus that serves over 130 families each and every month. We brought in over 200 boxes of cereal. I saw some come in the building right now. Over 400 jars of peanut butter and 600 cans of chicken. RCC has assisted with 70 benevolent situations in our community so far this year. We purchased mattresses for kids that didn't have them. We provided shelter to the homeless. We've assisted individuals in the hospital, provide nutrition for families in need of food above what we're already doing in the food ministry. We've assisted people with a search to help find employment. We've even been able to help individuals with medical needs and even make sure they get their medication. And going forward, I can't wait for this and Thanksgiving. We're going to do something bigger and better than ever for this year's Thanksgiving. We're going to adopt at least 130 families and take care of them this Thanksgiving. Can we get God the praise of just what we're doing right here in our Nineveh? I mean, that's you. That's what God is doing through you. And that's just a little bit of what RCC is doing right here in our community. That is why God wants us to be generous here at RCC. The thing is, God is going to love the world with or without our consent. But he's inviting us to join him in this mission to reach Nineveh. We get to do this. Not we have to, we get to. So, will you sacrifice financially for the mission of God here at RCC? Will you consider joining an outreach team or a ministry team to join the mission of God and what he's doing here at RCC? And if you're serious about following Jesus, the answer is obvious. The answer is yes, absolutely. Jesus pursued God's mission with a fully engaged heart because he knew the heart of God, that his Father was concerned for the whole world, not just the people. Listen to this. Did you notice how the story of Jonah ends? God even brings up the animals. God says, why should I destroy the whole city full of kids and cows? Which leads to the next point. That is, God is concerned about the redemption of what? All creation. Not just some of it, but all creation. The last words of the book of Jonah give us a glimpse about how cosmic the concern of God truly is. It's a sneak peek of the size of redemption that he has planned. Jonah loves the plant, doesn't he? He's really happy about the plant. But God loves the planet. God is intending for every single atom in his creation to be reached by his saving grace. Acts chapter 3 says this, for Jesus must remain in heaven until the time for the what? Say it with me, for the what? the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. God is on a mission to restore all things. And by the way, creation is concerned about that too. Romans chapter 8 says that creation is groaning not to be destroyed, but to be redeemed. Creation doesn't want to be put out of its misery. Creation wants to be put back the way it was before sin messed up everything. And God is going to do this. His redemption is not just going to reach the people, but it's even going to reach the animals. Therefore, I have concluded recently that here's what I'm thinking now about heaven. I believe that there's actually going to be cats in heaven. Because the Lord knows we need something to hunt, all right? So save your emails. All right. The message of Jesus is the ultimate restoration movement. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says this, creation itself will be liberated from its what? Its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. There is nothing small about this mission of God. There's nothing small about the grace it requires. There's nothing small about the sacrifice that heaven is making for this mission. That's why it baffles God. It truly baffles God that what makes you and me so angry and yet so happy oftentimes is so pathetic, so pitiful, and so small. See, God is concerned that we're not as concerned as he is. We tend to care more about dying plants than we do about dying souls. See, the point of the book of Jonah is not to teach us that God loves the world. We already know that. The point is that we know God loves the world, but it's just not that much of a concern for his people. We get more passionate about things that make us uncomfortable than we do about people often being saved. And so my question to you is, what makes you happy? Like, what makes you really happy? Is it, you know, when your team wins or when you get a better vehicle or maybe the person you voted for gets elected? You want to know what makes heaven happy? Like, bust out a big party happy. When one of God's lost kids comes home, heaven celebrates, amen? Heaven celebrates when one of his lost kids comes home. And we had a lady who shared her story with me in the backstage who got baptized to name Justine. And she said, you know, I never was immersed in my life. I've been sprinkled, but never been immersed. Now think about Baptism Sunday and Baptism Week that's coming up in November 2nd and 5th. And we want to encourage you, if you've never taken that step, if you've never been immersed in God's and basically uniting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I'm telling you right now, it's a day you will never, ever forget. I encourage you to sign up, because this is the day that all heaven celebrates for. When people say, I am washed clean of all my sin for all time. Sin can't hold on to me anymore because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want that, as Lloyd said earlier, you want that eternal life. This is your step right here. So I encourage you to go ahead and register at riverchristian.church/baptism so you can go ahead and have your friends and family there, or you can actually QR code that was on the screen just a second ago. But I want to encourage you to take that step, because at some point we have to ask ourselves this question. Is what concerns God really concern me? Is what concerns God really concerns me? Because if we're not concerned about God's mission, we have to wonder if we really understand and grasp God's grace for ourselves. God has been so good to Jonah, but he was so unconcerned about those who needed to taste the goodness of God. I think about a story of Charles Spurgeon, an amazing pastor who was asked one time, do you really think that people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus, do you really think the people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus, do you think they're really lost? And I love his response. He's a great response. He said, do you think people who say they believe in Jesus, but have never gone and told somebody about Jesus, do you believe they're saved? Jesus only made one direct prayer request in all the gospels. He taught us how to pray. He showed us how to pray. But he only made one direct prayer request. I wonder what that prayer request was. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 9, look what it says. When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had a compassion on them, just like just like God did with Nineveh. Because they were confused, like Nineveh. They were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is what? The harvest is great. But the workers are what? Few. So pray, this is his prayer request. Jesus says, pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Read it with me, church. Ask him to send more workers into his field. And that's what God's saying to Jonah. Jonah, get in the game. Get on the field. And that's the tension. And so God asked three questions of Jonah. Number one is this. Do you have any right, Jonah, to be angry? These are my kids. They're not your kids. Yes, they've done evil. And yes, they deserve whatever type of nuking you think's appropriate. But these are my people. I want everyone to come to me. And then the next question, God sends a lovely vine and gives Jonah shade. And Jonah, who's easily distracted, all of a sudden thinks life is great because he's got this vine over him. Then a worm comes and eats the vine, and he's mad again. He's always mad. And then God asks him this question. Do you have any right to be angry about the vine? And Jonah, who's at least honest, says, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm angry enough to die. And God says, Jonah, you get all worked up about a vine. Let me tell you what works me up. What works me up is 120,000 people. The last words in Jonah are God's final question. Here it is, the third question. Should I not be concerned about the great city? Should I not be concerned, Jonah, about the great city? And when I see that, I'm like, so what did Jonah say? We don't know. Because there's not a Jonah 5. There's only a Jonah chapter 4. This is a great question. Shouldn't I be concerned about this city? And the question then I have, since we don't know how Jonah responded, is will Jonah be swallowed up by the mission of God? We already know he can be swallowed up by a fish, but that's not near as important as will he be swallowed up by the passion and by the concern and by the mission of the God he claims to love. Will the man who witnessed the greatest revival in all the world have a revival in his own soul? And you say, well, we don't know. The book story just ends. It ends right there. Well, that's the genius of the Holy Spirit and how he wrote the book. Because here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wants you. The Holy Spirit wants me to finish the story. Because guess what? We're Jonah. You're Jonah. I'm Jonah. We started off this series with that thought. We are Jonah, and we get to decide what kind of ending the story gets. Because the story, the person who wrote the book and wrote the story of Jonah is not trying to give us Jonah's final answer. The author leaves it open-ended for you to answer. See, God cares about the 120,000. He cares about people who have messed up lives and who've made wrong choices and who have blown it. He cares about our enemies. He cares about people we don't know. And when God asks, shouldn't I care about the city? Let's spin that around. Shouldn't we care about this city? Shouldn't we care about Orange Park and Oak Leaf and Middleburg and Fleming Island and Lake Asbury and Green Coast Springs and Keystone Heights and Palatka and St. John's County and Jacksonville? Shouldn't we care about every single inhabitant in this city? I want you to hear me. It's for such a time as this that God has raised up RCC. We do know that God's love is constant and it is relentless and it doesn't end, and he's blessing us to bless this city. Let's not get distracted over little vines because little things aren't going well in our lives. Let's not get distracted by inconveniences or petty issues. Let's join God in the work in restoring all things. Shouldn't God care about this city? And as a reader, I must know the answer. And the answer is this: yes. Yes. He cares about the good church people, and he cares about the people who've done almost everything wrong. He cares about them all. And the fact is vividly made clear by the sending of his own son, his one and only son, to die for every single one of us, all of us, on the cross. Let's see how our young friend ends the story of Jonah. Check out this video.
Meanwhile, God Jonah climbed a hill above the city and sat down to watch God destroying it. He waited and waited. I feel like a fool. All my work has wasted. God is not destroying Nineveh. Jonah. Yes, Lord. Jonah, will you never learn my love? My love is great. It is greater than my anger, and it is for all my creatures. Didn't I give you another chance? Yes, you did. Now I am giving the Ninevites another chance. Go now, Jonah, and try to love as I do. Then you will be a true man of God. Yay for God! He has forgiven us! Yay! Hooray! So Jonah began his long journey home and tried to love as God had taught him. The end.
We understand the genius of this book. You get to decide if the book of Jonah has a happy ending or not. So what ending are you going to write with your life? What ending are you going to write with your life? So here's the thing about concern. It's concrete, it's tangible. Like repentance, you can see it in someone's life. They will show it by how they share the truth. They'll show it by how they live their life. They'll show it by how they sacrifice generously with their resources and with their time and with their talents that God has given them. And so, is there somebody in your life that needs to hear the truth and the grace and the love of Jesus? So the next thing we see, if you're concerned, you'll pray. You'll pray for them. Our prayer team is going to be up here. And if you don't know someone who's kind of in your Nineveh that needs to hear the word about God's love for them through Jesus, I want to encourage you to come up here and pray for them. That's your first step. Before we do anything, we always pray. And I encourage you not to be like Jonah. Don't be like Jonah. So for some of you, it's not just lost people, but it's also lost relationships. I know this can get tricky, can get messy, but God's about restoring all things, even those relationships in your life. And so my question to you is there somebody in your life that maybe the relationship needs to be restored? And once again, I'm going to encourage you not to be like Jonah. I want to encourage you to actually share the words of grace, to share the words of truth, and to share the words of love. Share with that person. And I encourage you with this, share that love, share that truth with them while you can. You don't know how long you have to share those words, so share those words. Don't be reluctant. Step into the mission of God. He's all about restoring all things. Will you stand with me right now? Please stand. Let me pray over you. Father God, I pray that you will do mighty work in our hearts, in our souls. We need a revival. We need a revival in our own hearts, just like Jonah did. And Father, if we're honest, we get happy about the wrong things. And we're not concerned about the important things enough. We're not concerned enough about the right things. And Father, I pray that we'll be joyful to sacrifice the things that make you and all of heaven happy. Father, we believe that this time next year, if Jesus doesn't come back, there'll be more people, more of your lost children will be found because we join you on the mission. That your table will be larger and that your family will grow because we joined you in your mission into this Nineveh, into your world. Lord, use us and may you get all the glory. For the sake of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. If there's any way it can be a blessing to you, maybe you want prayers about something in your life, prayers about someone who's lost, maybe prayers about a lost relationship, please come up here. Let's lead the way in prayer. God hears those prayers. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus or share a joy or just come up here and pray by yourself. Please know you can do that. But right now, can we give God the praise and asking him for revival? Just right now, just say, God, we need revival in our life. Won't you come as we worship him together? Please come.